Let me turn around this way. Hi, this is John. Hi, this is John Ballantyne of Campfire Radio Theater.
No, no!
This is Kevin Hartnell from Overlook Hotel Records, and you're listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. Man, I've got to get out of here.
Welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast once again. My name is Robert. I'm here with Matthew sitting in the car.
Good day.
And this is the podcast, as you may well have guessed or have been previously informed, for those who are interested in the making of audio drama. Welcome. What have we got today? We're promoting all over the shop. We're putting up flyers on abandoned buildings. We're spamming people. We're doing all the right things, aren't we, Matthew?
Yeah, I've just logged into Facebook. I'm going to join some groups and just machine gun some links everywhere to try and get some traffic. But, you know, we want to talk today about how to promote your show, how to grow your audience. As audio drama creators, as content creators, we all want to reach the maximum amount of people. We want to see big downloads. We want to see people getting in touch with us and telling us how good our shows are. That's, you know, it's part of the reward for all the hard work that we put in as audio drama creators. So today, you know, we want to take a look at this and see what methods, you know, have been shown to be successful for promoting your show. And also, you know, we're going to start with some of the methods that we do see quite a lot, and I wouldn't say they're very successful, and in fact they're probably quite counterproductive. Robert, as audio drama creators, I suppose, you know, we've all been guilty of probably doing one or two of these practices in the past. You know, you kind of learn as you go, don't you? When you look back, especially when we started putting stuff out, and you've got this childlike excitement about you just want to tell the world, and you know, you probably go on Twitter and you're just dropping links everywhere and telling everyone, oh, you need to hear this, it's the best thing ever. And it's not a malicious thing, it's more a misguided enthusiasm thing, I would reckon. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just a lack of experience, I think. You want to go on Twitter and anybody that's even remotely interested in anything related to what you're doing, whether it's audio drama or music, you're like, hey, check out this hip tune or something. Maybe they said that 40 years ago. And yeah, you've got to realise that you're not alone out there in getting your stuff out there, you know, and you've got to walk before you can run, I guess. I remember we were tweeting people and just dropping retweets and links, as you say, and that's not the way forward. You really need to grow slowly. It reminds me of all the success stories you hear, like of actors who are overnight successes, but what you don't realise at first is that they actually worked at it and, you know, they went to audition after audition and they worked for nothing and they slept on bus station floors and all that stuff. And really, there is no shortcut, is there?
Absolutely not. And, you know, what we're going to go through, you know, these sort of strategies, if you like, for growing your audience, it's not a new thing, and these things have been covered quite a lot over the last few years, especially in, you know, the various podcasts about podcasting that are out there. So let's just start with the bad practices. Again, we're not trying to attack anyone. You know, this is not aimed at anyone in particular. It's just, you know, something that we've wanted to talk about for quite some time.
Yeah, we're not saying it's immoral. We're saying it's probably ineffectual.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's, you know, not doing your audience any favours. Oftentimes, I think, you know, we'll come to the first one here, the link dump. We've all seen the link dump, you know.
Yeah.
You're a member of a Facebook group or a community somewhere and, you know, people will have conversations with each other and you'll always get one or two people who will just drop in. They'll never ever say a word to anyone. They'll never talk to anyone about anything. And they just drop a link. They don't even say hello. They don't even say, you know, they don't even say check out this show. Or if they do say something like that, it'll be please share this, you know. Very, very root one, very one-sided. I wouldn't even call it interaction. It's not interaction at all. But this is certainly something we see quite a lot of. And this must take a lot more effort than the strategies we're going to talk about, which are just making friends and building relationships. This must be more work, essentially.
It must be tedious as well, just joining as many groups as possible that have got a key word in it, and then just going in and dropping link after link, you know, copy paste, copy paste, copy paste. How much more rewarding is it to actually get to know people in different groups and speak to them, ask them questions, have them ask you questions, give them samples to listen to if they're interested, and, you know, actually get to know people. That was the purpose of the internet, wasn't it? To for the world to be a smaller place and for us all to unite across the globe, instead of this just, you know, putting leaflets through people's doors, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, exactly. And the next sort of point here is on Twitter, because, you know, what we've just talked about there is a lot more relevant to Facebook. Twitter's obviously, it's a bit faster moving, you know, messages are appearing and disappearing a lot quicker. Some people misuse Twitter, in my opinion. Twitter's very effective as a conversation, I think. And you do see people whose entire feed on Twitter is simply them sending the same tweet over and over again to different people with a link to their show. Maybe they're asking for a retweet, maybe they've got a new episode out, maybe they've got like a Kickstarter campaign or something like that, and their entire Twitter account is just dedicated to tweeting people and asking them to support the show, to retweet a link, to listen. Very one-sided, you know. At no point are they reaching out to anyone else to comment on their show, to try and make friends with someone, to try and get to know someone. So again, that's a lot of effort, and I'd be surprised if they see any results whatsoever from that strategy.
Yeah, and you see it like at Yap Audio link retweet ? At John Smith link retweet ? And 100 of them. And how minimalistic is that? How detached does that feel? It doesn't make us feel special when we see somebody flinging a link at us. And especially when it turns out it's not even an audio drama, it's probably an audio book or even just a novel or something, and they've seen us as being something remotely fiction related, so they've just flung it at us. It makes me feel dirty and sordid.
It's like, you know, when the postman comes in the morning and you get the coloured leaflets, you know, for shops and stuff like that. You don't even open them. They go straight in the bin. Unless there's a deal on beer or that, then I usually give it the time of day.
I do sometimes look through them and go, oh, wow, milk. Hey, you know, you can buy milk now. Yeah. Wow, fantastic.
Someone had to advertise that. So
great on cereal.
Another strategy that is pretty bad, you know, for growing your audience is only ever, and this relates to the other two, only ever talking about yourself, only ever posting about yourself. So just constantly putting out links to your show, constantly asking people to check your show out. If there's a discussion happening, you might intervene and, of course, providing a link to your show. You see some as well where somebody's maybe asked, like, what are your favourite shows? And you'll get the odd person who actually posts their own show.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, that's not the way to do it. Like, this is an opportunity to share some of the content, some of the shows that really inspire you, some of the shows that you really love. What a great opportunity to share these with other people. And instead, people are coming in with their own stuff. And that just has no value whatsoever, does it?
No, I mean, I'd maybe mention the shows that we love and inspired us, and then say, and if you like them, there's also our own little offering, maybe, at the end of it. But certainly, if you're just saying, yeah, mine, my show, this is my show, hello everyone, my show, then you're not going to get any gravitas from that at all. The people are going to be like, right, okay, yeah, I'll check it out, I guess. I'm not sure why I should, because you haven't really said much about it. All you've done is state the link. But yeah, we obviously will get a lot more respect for being able to talk about other shows and putting them above our own. It shows a kind of humility, I guess, as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is that bad promotion strategies, bad strategies towards trying to build and grow your audience are essentially, you know, the fact that it's all about you. Everything that you're putting out there is about you. It's about your show. It's never about anyone else. And ultimately, you know, you might see a couple of downloads here and there when you're peppering these links all over the place, but you're not going to get any long-term growth because you're not actually making friends and building relationships with people. So the minute you stop spamming places, they're just going to forget about you, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much. There's a good few examples of success, even in our Facebook group. There's been shows that I've not heard before, but because these people have been interacting with us about all manner of topics, we've gotten to know them. One or two other people have said, yeah, I checked out your show, it's really good, oh, I love it. And then I end up checking it out, you know. I don't feel like I've been bullied into it by some hyperlink. And it's turned out to be brilliant. And that's the way to go, get to know people and speak to them. And they'll want to check out your show because they like you.
Yeah, that does sort of bring us on to, you know, we've talked about sort of what not to do or what we certainly advise against doing. So what are the alternatives? And you've summed it up very well there, Robert. And funnily enough, this was purely coincidental because we'd already planned this episode and I was on Twitter and we got a notification from a show called The Owl Field. And it was basically just a tweet from The Owl Field saying that the Audio Drama Production podcast was a really good show and if anyone was interested in that sort of thing, here's a link to it. And what does that make you do? Well, automatically you go on to thank the person and then you go on to their Twitter profile where there'll be a link. So I went on there, there was a link to the website, went on that, had a listen to what they were up to, and it was exceptional, and I want to talk a bit about that in a while. But that's the bottom line, is that someone, you know, has shared our content, and that's made us then, you know, want to reach out to them to thank them and to check out what they were doing.
And now we're discussing it on an award-winning podcast.
Yeah, well, when you put it like that. So when you log on to Twitter, instead of scheduling tweets, instead of sending out tweets, go into your news feed instead. See what people are saying, maybe reply to them, find out where you could maybe help people. There's always people looking for help or advice with certain things. There's people sharing their shows. You could always get in touch with a few people, just check out what they're up to, get in touch with them, share their content, comment on it. If you've been listening to any stuff that you've really enjoyed recently, share that, because others that follow you will be interested in that as well. And when you do that, people will want to know more about you. They'll probably want to make friends, build a relationship with you. They'll click through to your own Twitter where you'll have your link to your site. So this is a great way to start building friendships and, you know, start building relationships, and you'll see that growth coming through. You'll see people arriving on your website, subscribing to your show, and that's a lot more effective than just spamming someone with a link.
And this is especially important for people that are really kind of new to the genre as well, to the medium, because if you're up and coming, maybe your product, you don't even realise it yet, but your product isn't perfect yet, and if you peak too soon and you get lots of people to listen to it, then they'll turn away. They don't really know you, they're not that keen on your product. End of story. But if you're getting to know people and you're really interacting with them and you say, oh, well, you know, I've got this thing I've made, would anybody mind checking it out just to give me some feedback? And they listen to it, which I'm with a much more positive frame of mind, and they can hear the potential, then you're going to get on. You know, they're going to give you feedback, positive help, and tell you what's right, tell you what's wrong, give you some advice, and you'll be buoyed by it and you'll want to make more stuff. But if you make one thing and you think it's all right and you don't know anyone and you throw it at them and they go, whatever, who are you again? Because they don't know you, because you haven't taken the time to speak to them properly, then it's already the end of the road before you've barely started.
Another thing as well is if you're active in a Facebook community, and we've got a great Facebook community for this show and for the medium, and it's always worthwhile just to help people out, talk to people, answer their questions. And when you do that, people eventually will say to you, like, well, what is it you do yourself? You know, they've been helped by you, they feel like they know you and they start to trust you and they want to find out what you're up to. And that's where you can come in and say, well, actually, I've got this show, you know, here's the links to it. And again, you know, a relationship's been established, they know who you are, they've actually asked you what it is that you do. So they're far more likely to follow up on it and to check it out. I don't think there's anything wrong with posting links to shows unsolicited, absolutely not. But I think it comes down to how active you are in a community. You know, if you only go on there just to drop a link and say nothing else, that's not so great. But, you know, if you're pretty active and you talk to people and you get to know people, by all means, when you release something, then, yeah, post a link to it. I mean, we'll post a link to this show. Probably most people know who we are. So, you know, it's just finding that balance. I don't want to come across like we're saying it's bad to post links to your show. That's absolutely not what we're saying. But there's certain tactics, isn't there?
Yeah, and we see it in our group now and again, don't we? There'll be someone that's just joined, and the first thing they do is they splatter a link, and we're like, hello? Who are you? Welcome to the group. Would you like to tell us a little bit about... Oh, nope, you've gone. You've already removed yourself because you just wanted to put that link in there. And that, for all we know, might be a machine doing that. How inhuman. It's terrible. You know, a link is the internet that's talking to us. Your voice, albeit through words typed, is your voice, and it's an actual connection. There's a big difference between the two, much more than we realise. I'm sure scholars will be talking about this for decades. The internet's a very new thing, you know, and we've all got to learn how to behave and how we can really connect with each other. So I guess what I'm saying is, you want to connect with people, you have to do it the old-fashioned way, which is speaking to them. You wouldn't just walk up to someone and force something into their hands and stare at them with a glassy look and walk away as if they weren't even there. You know, you wouldn't do that in the street. You shouldn't do it online either. Speak to them, interact, give them a big hug. Maybe not the big hug, not the best introduction, but we're all people. Let's connect and talk.
Yeah, I think, you know, if there's a couple of takeaways for you here is to go onto your social media channels, whatever it is you use, you know, Facebook, Twitter, just have a look at what you're putting out there and have a look at the ratio. And I'm not going to give you a number of what I think the ratio should be, that's up to you, but if you go on there and you're always just mentioning your own stuff, then you might want to reconsider. And you know, you might want to make a point of a couple of times a week just going on and sharing someone else's content, or just starting up a conversation with someone who has said something that you're interested in. And it doesn't even have to be audio drama. You know, somebody could be talking about a film you like, or a book you like, or a band you like. Get in touch with them and just chat about that. Don't even mention audio drama, just have a conversation. And eventually you might make a friend, and you know, there'll be the opportunity further down the line to talk about what it is that you're up to. So have a look at your output and make a decision on whether you think you're on the right course or whether you can do a wee bit better on those fronts.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to add as well is that, okay, some people don't just put links in, they actually put a little blurb underneath, and that's fine, but you wouldn't go to a party and walk in and say, hey, it's me, the amazing Robert, award winner in this field and that field, and did you know that when I was 15 I could run 200 metres in 28 seconds? That's true. And, you know, you wouldn't just rattle off your CV in the middle of a group of people. You don't just... So you don't just put your link on the Facebook group and say, oh, the death-defying Murdo, will he find the killer in time? Or will... and all this. Yeah, you know, it's like, what the hell? Stop trying to... We don't want to read the back of a DVD box, you know? Who are you and what's this all about? And just tell us a little bit. But talk to us. Connect with us. Don't just scream at us, you know, and at some pre-approved script.
Yeah, it's a great point, you know. There's a lot to be said for, and obviously online is a bit different from real life, but acting a bit more how you would in real life is important, because like you say, you wouldn't walk into a pub or a club and just start announcing things. I have seen it done, but yeah. It's not like the person got a great response. So yeah, those are some things to think about. Maybe just share a couple of things that you enjoy once or twice a week. Talk to people.
And you could also look at what the successful people are doing. People like Fred Greenhalgh, Jack Kincaid, Casey Wayland, who are all, I would say, successful in their own ways. So how have they done it? Did they make episode one and then just start screaming at people? Or have they built up their audience by getting to know people slowly, releasing work after work, consistently providing decent output? and connecting slowly with people. That's, I would say that's what they do. And they never do they just set off fireworks and scream and have a plane with a banner flying overhead saying, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this.
Yeah, and once you've actually built that fan base of people who really like you and really like what it is that you do, they actually do all your promotion for you.
Yeah.
You know, you'll often see fans of certain shows just getting in there when there's a discussion and promoting this show, and the creator of that podcast or audio drama doesn't even have to make an appearance because it's all, you know, they've done the groundwork. They've spent years and years building these relationships, and that's paying off. You know, essentially, the audience is growing the audience for them.
I would say we've spammed Edict Zero and We're Alive links much more than they ever have. And, and that's a testament to them as opposed to a black mark against our names. We just want people to enjoy it, damn it.
Yeah, so I suppose we could climb down from our soapbox now, but I did mention the owl field. I keep wanting to say the oil field when I say it out loud. The owl field. So it's actually Michelle who is a member of the Facebook community, the Audio Drama Production Podcast Facebook community. But I had no idea. I hadn't put two and two together, so I didn't know that the owl field was actually his show. And went on the website, like I say, checked it out, and it's binaural, which if you don't know what that means, it's basically 3D audio. So he's got this, it was 8.5 minutes long, I think, this wee audio drama called Overnight, and it's in the first person, and it's binaural, so, you know, you put a good pair of over-ear headphones, and I was just lying in bed in the dark listening to this, and it really was fantastic. And you know, what that made me do was go out and share that to people. I actually told a few people about it, so there you go. You know, that's a great example, and that wasn't even part of this episode.
And the funny thing is that because you made a connection with him and you've listened to that, you have given it a thumbs up or two, and I am now going to listen to it probably this afternoon on the back of you listening to it and liking it. So it just shows you how that effect can snowball, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do things right and it'll pay off.
And it turns out Michelle lives in Edinburgh, of all places.
I've heard of it.
Which is, what, 20, 25 minutes drive from here. And I only found this out because they just announced today that they've been nominated for an award. It's called the Future Book Awards. That's on thebookseller.com. And I think this is a pretty big deal. And they've actually been nominated for one of these awards. And I went on the article, and it was talking about a Scottish audio drama producer. And I was like, whoa! So I got back in touch. I was like, Scotland? And he said, yeah. He said he was going to get in touch about meeting up. And I was like, well, you've taken your time.
Yeah.
You could have said. So, yeah, we have to get across there and, I don't know, kidnap him.
Yeah, I guess. Or get drunk or, well, not necessarily in that order, but one or the other. Or both, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. Maybe I've finally found someone that I could replace you with. Maybe I could sack you now.
Brilliant.
Elsewhere, you know what I was listening to? Night Delivery by Campfire Radio Theatre. Listened to that the other day. Always like when Campfire puts something out, and it never disappoints. You know, have you heard it yet yourself?
I'm still getting through the black tapes, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, you know, this was fantastic. And what I was thinking to myself, because I was walking home from work, I walk over a big long bridge. It's like, I don't know, a mile and a half long, two miles.
2 miles, I've heard.
And I was listening to Night Delivery, Campfire Radio Theatre, and I was thinking, like, John Ballantyne is such a, and I don't know if underrated's the word, but undervalued, underappreciated, I don't know. He's such a great audio drama producer and writer, and yet, you know, you don't hear his name mentioned all that much, and I suppose we're guilty of that as well, but John's stuff's always absolutely first class, and he's got a great group of people around him, you know, Kevin doing the music and some great actors, and he also mixes, you know, he's got a great balance of stuff he's created locally and, you know, utilising remote actors. And I think what Campfire have is a brilliant model for someone, you know, an aspiring producer or a new producer. I think what those folks do is it's a great thing to look up to, a, you know, achievable model, if you like, if you're prepared to work hard and get better.
Yeah.
I think they do a lot right. John himself would probably admit he's not got a fancy setup or great facilities or that. He's just very good at making use of what he has, and the stuff he's putting out there is phenomenal. And I do think he's undervalued in audio drama. I think he's one of the greatest audio drama creators of this generation. So there you go, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with you. And who knows, as audio drama gets bigger and bigger, which we keep saying it will do, and I'm still sure of that, maybe we'll see great things in the future for John and for us that follow in his wake.
Elsewhere, Audio Drama Day, we've mentioned this the past couple of weeks, but it is important. Audio Drama Day is Friday, the 30th of October. Sibby's been, you know, running the website, audiodramaday.com. Some fantastic artwork as well from Matt Leong. Have you seen some of the postcards?
I have, yeah.
Really good, you know, artwork and wee slogans. So apparently some are on their way to us and they've been posted out to various people all over the world. So, you know, I'll be leaving some at the uni where I work and we'll see what we could do.
Ah, fab. Yeah, I look forward to that. And it kind of caught us out last year a little bit, Audio Drama Day. So we've had a year to prepare.
Yeah, we're still to start.
And here it is again. And I hope to see some interesting things. It'll be just in time for Halloween as well. Maybe people are doing a two-pronged affair with Audio Drama Day. But yeah, stay tuned to all the usual channels. There should be a lot of interesting stuff coming up.
Yeah, you'll find all the news, and you know that there is quite a lot happening. You'll find that all over on the website there, Audio Drama Day. Links, of course, in the show notes to this very episode. And other audio drama news, Lock and Key topped the Audible charts last week. That's phenomenal news. I mean, I know they were giving it away for free, but to see an audio drama up there, and I know we spent a bit of time dealing with the negative comments, you know, minority of negative comments that were being left in the review section there, but there's been so many positive reviews, not just from people who previously listened to audio drama. You know, a lot of people saying this is great, there must be more stuff out there like this, and we're like, yeah, there is.
There really is, and we're making it as quick as we can. And the interesting thing as well is that there were a lot of comments, both good and bad, saying that they weren't expecting the type of thing they were hearing. They're obviously so used to audiobooks that to have a full cast with little narration, it really took them by surprise, and for the most part they loved it. Some just couldn't get their heads around it in time, and then they were confused, they couldn't work out what was going on because they're just not used to thinking in that way, which we are. We just have to convince more and more people that this is the way to go, and you know, once you get used to it, somebody that's simply reading out from a book will probably put them to sleep.
You know what it reminded me of? Here's a good film reference. Remember in Back to the Future when Marty McFly goes out and plays, was it Chuck Berry?
Yeah. And Johnny Be Good.
And he says at the end, like, I guess you people just weren't ready for that yet.
Your kids are going to love it. Yeah. Very briefly, you realise that date's coming up, don't you? When, I don't know if it's
Is it
been
really
mentioned on the internet.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you do see quite a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of what we're up to ourselves, I'm still working away. I know you're, you know, hard at work writing Valenhigh, Robert, but I've been producing Kraken Mare, which is a small one-off story about some astronauts who head up to Saturn's moon Titan because they want to investigate some mysterious wreckage on the floor of the big methane ocean up there. So I'm knee-deep in production with that at the moment. Something I've started doing, I wanted to mention this just briefly. You know, we talk about listening to your show in as many different ways as possible, like through earbuds, through the car, things like that. So I've actually, you can get a headphone splitter. We use it sometimes to record this podcast. And basically, it just gives you the capabilities to have two sets of headphones instead of one. You could get them for like £2 or £3 on Amazon. And usually I would just have like my really good Audio Technica headphones plugged in, but I've started putting the headphone splitter in, and I've got a pair of earbuds plugged in as well. So after I do a particularly complex scene, I'll listen to it again through the earbuds. This just saves me like plugging it out, plugging it in all the time. And you know, a few things have came up, especially with some of the, you know, I've got some quite heavy scenes at the end. We've got this big sea monster, and the bass was really low. And what I found was that my good headphones were coping well with that, but when I listened through the earbuds, it was clear that I was going to have to maybe roll off some of the low end. So that's a wee tip for you sometimes. You know, you could do all that work and then you could release something and then you start to get constructive criticism saying, well, you know, maybe you could have done this. And yeah, a lot of that could be prevented just by listening to it through your earbuds, listening to it through the car, and also getting advice for people. Like I'd given a provisional copy of the show to yourself, Robert, a couple of others, and
yeah,
also sent it through Matthew Boudreau. Monsieur Boudreau was very kind to listen to it as well. When I'm going down that route, I'm really looking to find a producer who's better than I am, you know, somebody who can give me really technical feedback, somebody who's not afraid to give you that feedback, because like I say, it's much better to get it now when you could change it than after you've released your show. So
yeah,
I would encourage you, you know, especially if you've not been producing very long, is just to find someone who is a bit more ahead of you in their production game that might be willing just to listen to your show and give you some pointers, because some of the feedback will be invaluable.
This is especially important if you don't have the very best of hearing either, because like my hearing isn't the best and I can't hear the very top frequencies within normal human range that everyone else can. I'm not deaf or anything, but there are certain very high frequencies I can't hear that you can, for instance, Matthew, and the stuff where you've said, well, actually there's a bit of ringing or something, and I'm like, what? I can't hear it. And I wasn't sure if it was my headphones or if it was me or a combination. So again, it might not just be the headphones, it could be you yourself if you haven't got the best of ears.
Absolutely. So yeah, don't be afraid to ask for advice. No matter how long you've been in the game, we all need advice, and it's good to get that second and even third pair of ears listening to your stuff before it goes out there to the world, because when it does, people can be cruel. And the news just kept on coming this week, didn't it? Because we just heard this morning that our pals at Hadron Gospel Hour had won Best Podcast at the Geeky Awards. So huge congratulations to them. They also won a Parsec Award. They're unstoppable at the moment. I'm glad they weren't in our category when we won the UK Podcaster Award.
Yeah, you stay over there. You stay on that side of the Atlantic. We, you know, we need at least one award. But an absolutely huge congratulations to them. In fact, they were the guys I was talking about earlier. I was going to leave it anonymous, but they were the ones that came into the group and they were talking away, and yeah, they've got their own show and they're interested in talking about this, that and the other in general. And eventually you and Kessie, good friend Kessie, had listened to Hadron, loved it, and I got around to listening to it and I just thought, where have you been all my life? You know, and if I'd just seen like, share, repeat, then I wouldn't have listened to it. And I'm so glad I did.
Well, there you go. Really nice folks over there. And of course, commiserations as well. They were up against friends of ours as well, the Once and Future Nerd.
Yeah.
We really like Christian and the team over there. So yeah, a sore one for them. You know, Hadron might have shared the wealth a wee bit there, but they're they're determined to pick up all the awards. So, but I'm sure Christian won't mind. It's never, you know, when you don't win an award. I remember we were on a bit of a run where we were always up against the wireless theatre company,
yeah,
for stuff. And, you know, it's never great not to win something, but you don't mind when you come second or third to something of real quality. It's a bit easier to take, isn't it?
And we got the chance to interview them and complain to their faces,
yeah,
which I particularly enjoyed. They keep getting famous people to be on their shows and blowing us out the water. But yeah, we were happy to lose to them. And yeah, Once and Future Nerd, also a great show. If it had to lose against anything, then Hadron. Fair enough, what can you say?
Yeah, there you go. So last thing, I think, in terms of audio drama news, JD got in touch. JD over at Audio Theatre Central. If you're looking for a present for anyone this Christmas, they're doing audio drama t-shirts. I think it's Keep Calm and Listen to Audio Drama. So they're selling those, I think, for a limited time. We'll put links to that in the show notes as well. So I don't know if that's an appropriate present for my wife. I know, Robert, that we are doing a naked calendar for the podcast. That's how we're going to raise funds this Christmas. No orders in yet, though.
None?
None at all. No
pre-orders?
No, nothing. In fact, the site's down.
Do you mean there's so many people being on the site that they've crashed it?
I think that's it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Naked Calendar. But seriously, yeah, get yourself onto JD's site and check out those T-shirts, because, yeah, good to get some people walking about with audio drama on their T-shirts, because you never know who might see it.
I tell you what, if we get enough requests, I will sit naked in the car and lean out of the car, all naked-like, for a photograph for the Facebook group.
Why would anyone request that?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. I'll even smile.
Just moving on from that, I suppose. We did have a couple of emails in as well that I just wanted to thank the senders for. So Boyd got in touch to chat with us, and he's started a new show. It's always great to see new audio drama series being created. This one's called Roswell BC, so I had a wee listen to that, and you know, it's a really good start, so check that out and give them some love, because when you've just got your first episode out there, it's a big time for you. So what he'll probably be finding is people will be saying, when's the second episode? And I bet he's not even written it yet, because that's what we did. Maybe he's more organised than we were.
Yeah.
The other email that came in was from Bob, and he wanted to recommend a show called Gallowtree. They're actually based down south in England. Boo. But yeah, I checked that out as well. Really, really humorous show. I don't know if I would consider it an audio drama. It's definitely in the sort of Welcome to Night Vale vein.
Right, okay.
So I think it's more of a sort of mock-up radio show. Having said that, I only heard a wee bit of it, so I could be totally unfair in my comments there, but certainly it did seem like a lot of fun. So if that's your cup of tea, check it out. And again, links to Roswell BC and Gallowtree will be in the show notes of this episode over at audiodramaproduction.com.
Top stuff. Well, plenty to listen to, especially if, like me, you're getting through stuff that we mentioned last week, like the black tapes and so on. So but check out the show notes, and everything will be linked there as well. And discuss it with us on the Facebook group, amongst other places.
Yeah, just as we're getting wrapped up here, I didn't tell you before we hit record, in case you fled, but I've got a really, really bad cold.
Excellent.
And now you've probably got it, because we've sat in a car together for 35, 40 minutes.
Holding hands.
Honestly, I can barely talk. It might have been evident. Maybe the listener's thinking you could barely talk any week. But I'm really struggling. I woke up the other morning and there it was. Like, no hint of it the night before.
Yeah.
And there it was when I woke up. So
it had been incubating for days.
Yeah, the old immune system must be down. So I'm planning on blitzing it tomorrow with some rum. And so I always mention alcohol and it sounds really bad. I don't even drink that much.
Yeah, I'm going out tomorrow night as well, funnily enough.
It's because we usually record on a Friday, and it's getting to that time of the week where you're getting that bit excited.
Excitement, yeah. Like, here we go. I haven't had a drink for 3 days.
But people listen to this on like Monday morning and that, when drink's quite far from your mind.
So yeah.
Probably sounds like we're alcoholics or have a bit of a problem, but that's not the case.
I wouldn't even say we had a social life. Yeah. Let alone a problem with that social life. But yeah, alcohol is on our minds. I'm away out tomorrow night in Dunfermline, which I found out means tower on the hill by the river. Dunfermline.
Good.
Yeah. And you're splashing rum on it, you say?
Yeah, I'm just going to absolutely blitz the cold. It's getting no change out of me, I'll tell you that.
Right.
A cold's going to be the furthest thing on my mind on Saturday morning.
You told me that you take zinc for your cold. You seem to have upgraded it to rum.
I take zinc. I take a zinc supplement every morning. It's supposed to keep stuff like the cold away. It usually does. It's failed now.
I can't remember the last time you had a cold, to be honest. So, whereas I've just gotten over 3 on the trot or something. So the idea that you might be giving me a cold now, it doesn't sit well with me, I must admit. Never mind.
Mutated cold. So that's really it. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. You know, plenty to go on and plenty to get out there and listen to. So looking forward to hearing from you all. Again, you can get in touch at podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
Yeah, I mean, Black Tapes, Lock and Key, Roswell BC. What else have we got here? My goodness,
Gallowtree,
lots of stuff. Gallowtree,
Campfire Radio,
Owl
Field.
Owl, yeah, absolutely. Right, I'm going to have to take a note of these.
Well, they'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, oh well, I won't have to write anything down. I can simply go to audiodramaproduction.com and that's how to promote. So, I guess that's about it for a week.
Yeah, thanks very much for listening. I hope you didn't catch the cold down the old airwaves.
Computer
through the old
virus and
earbuds,
all that. Yeah. I can't believe I'm still making computer virus jokes. 20 years after first using the internet. I do apologise. I must be coming down with something. Get in touch, usual way. Did we mention the email address already?
Yeah, it's all been done.
Yeah,
it's all
fine. Right, away you go. Google us if you're still struggling. You shouldn't be. And we'll speak to you next week.
Right, go away. Class dismissed. Enjoy your weekend, even though it'll probably be Monday when you listen to this.
Vaya con Dios!